Brothers and sisters, visitors, those following on live stream, welcome to this afternoon's worship service. It is a great blessing that we may be here to join in worship of our triune God. May the preaching of the gospel direct our hearts and minds in faith and trust to our Saviour Jesus Christ and cause us to live our lives to the praise of Him. Consistory has the following announcements. Next week, Sunday morning, will be a very special worship service in which we may, the Lord willing, witness the installation of both Reverend Ryan de Jong as well as Reverend David Pohl as missionaries of the Free Reformed Church of Sudden River. If no lawful objections are brought forward before this Friday, the installation of both brothers will take place remotely via video link with PNG. The congregation is hereby reminded that the election of office bearers will take place, the Lord willing, next week Sunday, immediately after the morning service. You are advised that Reverend Alkmaar of the Free Reformed Church of Albany has accepted his call to the Canadian Reformed Church of Smithers, British Columbia. Tomorrow night, consistory as elders and deacons will meet at 7:30 in the consistory room. Church visitation for our church in Sudden River will take place, the Lord willing, on Thursday evening, the 21st of October, in the consistory room at 8 p.m. And this afternoon we welcome Reverend Salman, Minister of the Free Reformed Church of Kelmscott, to the pulpit. And before we commence, let us sing together hymn 9, verse 1.
Brothers and sisters, please arise. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters, let us now sing in response to the greeting of the Lord from Psalm 15. Who, Lord, may live on Zion's height within your tent, your holy dwelling. Let us sing Psalm 15, all three verses.
Yeah.
Brothers and sisters, let us now together with the Church for all times and places profess our undoubted Catholic Christian faith. We do it by using the words of the Apostles' Creed, by singing hymn 1. Let us now pray. Our Father in heaven, as your people, we come before you. We give thanks to you that you are our God and our Father, and that you come to us within a covenant. Yes, we may know that your covenant promises are sure and true. Father, you are the only one who never changes, who is the same from eternity and to eternity. Father, we live in a world in which nothing is certain, in which people lie to each other, in which things are constantly changing. There's nothing in which we can trust. And in that world, we know that your promises are certain and that your word is true. We have come together as your people to listen to the preaching of your word. And we pray, Father, will you bless us in preaching and in listening? Will you build us up by the truth of your word? Fill us then also with your word, that we also live in love for you, in love for each other, in love also for your word, which is the word of truth, and that we also will speak the truth and will do so in love, so that in our lives your name may be glorified and that this world may see how good it is to live in the truth and to detest the lie. Father, will you work powerfully with your Holy Spirit so that your word may be heard clearly here this afternoon and also every day again in this world, now that we stand in this world as your church, as a pillar and buttress of the truth, that we may stand for the truth and resist the lie. Father, give us then that we may glorify your name in speaking the truth and singing about your glory, and living to the glory of your name. Father, we pray this in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters, the scripture reading this afternoon is first from John 18, verse 33 to 38. And then thereafter also from Ephesians 4, verse 17 to 32. Now we read this in connection with Lord's Day 43 of the Heidelberg Catechism. And I proclaim to you the word of God this afternoon about the ninth commandment. You shall not give false testimony, about the truth, about the God of truth. And that's summarized by the Church in Lord's Day 43. In connection with that, we will now read from John 18. Verse 33 to 38. And there we read the word of God about our Lord Jesus Christ when he was standing before Pilate, the governor. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting, that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." And Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answers, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him." So far from John 18, let us now go to Ephesians 4, verse 17 to 32. In Ephesians 4, the Apostle Paul first speaks about unity in the body of Christ. The body of Christ is being built up by the word of God, by the preaching of the word of God. And by this preaching, the body of Christ is functioning as a body, every part of the body working properly. And then Paul speaks about a new life in verse 17. "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on a new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." So far, scripture reading. Let us now sing from Psalm 141. Hasten, Lord. Sorry, Psalm 141, verse 2. Save me, Lord, from all sin and folly. Psalm 141, let us sing in verses 2, 3, 4, and 5. Let us read the Lord's Day 43 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Lord's Day 43, there we read what the Church confesses and summarized from God's Word about the Ninth Commandment. What is required in the Ninth Commandment? I must not give false testimony against anyone, twist no one's words, not gossip or slander, nor condemn or join in condemning anyone rashly and unheard. Rather, I must avoid all lying and deceit as the devil's own works and the penalty of God's heavy wrath. In court and everywhere else, I must love the truth, speak and confess it honestly, and do what I can to defend and promote my neighbor's honor and reputation. Brothers and sisters, beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the ninth commandment speaks about the sin of the tongue. It's about what we say to each other, about each other. And if you think about it and read what the Bible says about this, for instance, James 3, that famous chapter about the sins of the tongue, then this commandment can be seen as one of the most difficult, most discouraging commandments. We still get the 10th commandment, which is about not coveting, which is even more difficult. But if you look at all the other commandments, James says in James 3, if there is anyone who is able to keep his tongue in check, he is a perfect man. Who of us never said any word wrong? We so easily say things that we shouldn't say. Sometimes we regret it soon after we said it, but often we don't even realize how damaging our words can be. How much we can hurt others by our words. Or how much we can influence others' attitudes and thoughts by spreading rumors or promote rash and unfair judgments. We say something negative about someone else in front of others. And with that we can influence their attitude, their idea about the other. The commandment not only deals with what we do or say, but it is a matter of attitude. To have the beginning of the obedience to the 9th commandment, our hearts must change. We must have a positive attitude, we must have a new life, a heart filled with love for God and for our neighbor. The devil is eager to use us, our mouth, to promote his empire. It was with words that he tempted Adam and Eve to sin. It was by his words, by his lies, that he caused Adam and Eve to choose against God and for death. And only the truth brings freedom. Only the truth of the word of God, the word of God's love, brings life. And our Lord Jesus, when he stood before Pilate, said, "For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." This shows how much God hates the lie. So much that he sent his son Jesus Christ into this world for the truth. "For this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth," the Lord Jesus said to Pilate before the official government. He came into this world to set us free from the lie and to bring the truth. The only truth that is God's love, to conquer and defeat the hate, to break the power of the lie. And all those who have been saved by Jesus Christ, and I hope you all are, and therefore you shall be free from the power of the lie. The goal of the work of the Spirit, our sanctification, is that more and more we become perfect, even in the use of our tongue. In the beginning of it, we already have here through the grace of the Spirit. And that's the gospel that comes to us in the 9th commandment. And I proclaim to you the word of God this afternoon under this theme: the Lord, the God of life, detests the lie. And first we see God cannot lie. And second, God's children shall not lie. The Lord, the God of life, detests the lie. First, we see that God cannot lie. The devil is the father of lies. The Lord Jesus speaks about him like that in John 8, when he has a dispute with the Pharisees. God is the God of truth. In him is no lie. God cannot lie. Not just he does not, but he cannot lie. It goes totally against his character. The lie is so heinous, so terrible, it is satanic. And therefore God hates, God detests the lie. It is impossible for God to lie. He is the God of life. The lie leads to death. God detests the lie even so much that he has given his own name as a guarantee for the truth. In the third commandment, Lord says 37, we heard about the oath. Using the name of the God, the name of God in the oath. God's name is his honor. God has connected his honor and his glory with the truth. That must make us realize how terrible and inexcusable the lie, any lie, is. And with the lie is meant not only the outright lying, but also every negative speaking about others. Even spreading the truth with the intention to hurt our neighbor. The truth comes from God. The truth will make us free and will give us life. It is through Jesus Christ, who came to testify to the truth, that we have life and are children of God. Do we want to be set free from the destructive power of the lie and of the father of lies? Do we want that? Then for us as children of God, the lie must be a no-go. Whatever lie. It must be completely banned out of our lives. And we must speak the truth in love. As children of God, we will love the truth and hate the lie. And that's also how we must be seen by others. By those who are outside. As people who speak the truth. When they speak about Christians, let them speak about them as people who always speak the truth. People who are reliable. People who speak the truth in love. People whom we can trust. Because they will never deceive. Nor use the lie to achieve their goals. They will be honest and fair in all their dealings, even in their dealings with unbelievers. And they will be fair in all their judgments. Lying and deceit, the Heidelberg Catechism says about that, that is the devil's own work. And therefore we must avoid it under penalty of God's heavy wrath. And now that we are set free from the power of the devil, we will not give the devil a foothold anymore in our lives. We will speak the truth. We will be witnesses of our Lord Jesus Christ, who came to testify to the truth. It is not just that we should speak the truth, but above all that we must love the truth. Only if we wholeheartedly love the truth, then we will be able to speak the truth. If we don't love the truth in our daily speaking, how can we ever be able to preach the word of the truth, the word of God, to others as church? If in our daily speaking we do the works of the devil, how can we as church be preachers of the word of God? The God who loves the truth and hates the lie. The God who cannot lie. God cannot lie. He is the truth. He cannot deny himself. All what he says is true. And that is certain. We can trust in him. We know that whatever God says is true. God does not have a hidden agenda. God does never deceive us. We know that if we listen to him, then we will never be put to shame. We can be sure that he does what he says. Among us as human beings, if you hear a rumor, if you hear someone telling a story, something of which you cannot check whether it is true or not, something you either believe or you don't, well, what do you do then? That often depends on what you know about the person who's telling a story. Whether you believe it or not. If that person is known as someone who is usually not very precise in speaking the truth, then is usually not very trustworthy, then you will not easily believe him. From some people you know already before they start talking that what they say you have to take it with a big grain of salt. But from others you know if they say something you better listen. Because they usually speak the truth and you can trust them. You know them from experiences in the past and based on those experiences you either believe them or not. Well, if we listen to God, then we know that he is God, the God who cannot lie, God who always speaks the truth, God who is always faithful to his promises. He is reliable. Everything that he says is always true. And that was in paradise, when God said to Adam and Eve, if you eat of a tree of knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. And the devil said, you will not surely die. Well, you know who was right. God did what he said. He came with his punishment. But it's also true of our salvation. God came to us again in his grace and gave his promises after the fall and sin. The promise of the coming of the Messiah who would take away the curse for us, from us, by taking away our sins. By taking our sins upon himself and by dying for our sins. That promise was and is certain and true. Christ came and died for our sins, and now we have the forgiveness of sins, and that is certain. And it's also a true and sure promise. God will fulfill that promise to all those who believe it. God reveals himself to us as the God who is who he is, Yahweh, who keeps his promises, the God who is faithful. Therefore, we will also trust him and believe and accept his promises. And not only that, but we will also love the truth and speak the truth, and we will hate the lie because he hates the lie. God's word is powerful. By his word, God created the heavens and the earth. By his word, we exist and we live. By his word and his spirit, we have faith. By his word, who became flesh, Jesus Christ, we have salvation. By his word, he builds his kingdom and his church. He who spoke and speaks the word of truth. And Jesus Christ, the Word who became flesh, who came to testify to the truth, he will not tolerate that the lie will prevail on his earth. He will not let the lie destroy his work. And that's important for us to know, brothers and sisters, now that we live in a world in which the lie has so much power. We can see it in the world, how much power the lie has. But it is very sad to see that also in the church, we often are not so precise with the truth. And often we are ready to judge brothers and sisters based on limited or biased information which we have. Brothers and sisters, if there is one thing in which we should be different from the world, then it is about the truth. The way in which we speak to and about each other. Is it the Spirit whom we serve, or is it Satan? Search your heart. What did you think? What did you say about others today, yesterday, this past week? Was it honoring to God and to your neighbor? Does that serve the preaching of the Word of God to all creation, or does that help to bring discredit to the message of the church? Which is the Word of God. Is the church really the pillar and buttress of the truth? The church proclaims the Word of God to this world. And that's her task. It is not just the minister who proclaims the Word of God. Yes, he does so from the pulpit. But it is the entire church. When the Word of God is being preached to those who are outside, But they see a church which lives a life that is different from the Word of God. That is not pleasing to God. That will compromise the preaching of the Word. We all have a task in the proclamation of God's Word to this world. It's not just the minister who preaches. It's also the congregation that lives by the Word of God. Also those who do not actively go out and preach the Word. They still have the task to support the preaching of the Word by their behavior and by their lifestyle. If we, by our way of dealing with each other within the church, or even with those who are outside, show that we do not care about speaking the truth and showing love, how do you think that the world will believe the word that the church is preaching? If we cannot show respect to each other in the way we deal with each other and accept each other in love, even though we disagree, how do we think that the world will accept the word of God that the church is proclaiming? In Lord's Day 47, we confess about the first petition, hallowed be your name. Grant us also that we may so direct our whole life, our thoughts, words, and actions, that your name is not blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised. God is the God who cannot lie. We are called to proclaim God and His word. And let that message be clear to the world. Let this gospel sound clearly in a world corrupted by lies. God's word is truth. God's word does not fail. In all uncertainty, there's only this certainty, God's promise and His judgment that is being proclaimed to the world. Let us, as children of God, show that we stand for the message which the church proclaims. And that brings us to our second point. God's children shall not lie. In Ephesians 4, verse 17 to 32, the Apostle Paul tells us that we must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. We must live as children of light. That's the conclusion of Paul in 5, verse 8. Walk as children of light. And he speaks in chapter 4, verse 20 to 24 about us being taught in Christ in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. And when he speaks in the following verses, especially verse 25 to 32, then it is striking that much of what he says about putting on a new self has to do with the way in which we speak. If you look at verse 25, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Here Paul speaks about the situation within the church. We are all members of one body. That does not mean that towards those who are outside we don't have the responsibility to speak the truth. But Paul makes it clear that within the church, we as believers receive all new life in Christ. An essential part of a new life is that we love the truth. Well, then it will show in the way we live together as brothers and sisters that we are completely different from those who are outside of the church. If we love the truth, it will be noticed by those who do not love the truth. Those who love to go on their own ways and live by the lie. The way in which we live together and speak together and are together as brothers and sisters in the Lord must be an example to those who are outside, so that they may see how good it is to live in the truth and to love the truth and to have the word of truth, the word of the God of the truth. In verse 26, Paul says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And give no opportunity to the devil. Sometimes people can get angry, and in their anger they say things which they later regret. That should not be so among us. We should control ourselves, and if we are angry, and there can be reasons to be angry, but if we are angry and we know that we cannot control ourselves in our anger, then we better keep our mouth shut and wait until we are reasonable again. In your anger, do not sin. Yes, there can be reasons to be angry also within the church, but it is important to realize what you are saying also in your anger. If you don't control yourself and say things which you later may regret, then you give the devil an opportunity. We are often very easy in saying sorry or telling others to say sorry. But you have to remember that even if we say sorry later, the evil has been done. If you are really sorry, if you really repent from your sins, then that must become clear in a changed attitude, a fleeing from sin. You are not going to continue and next time again say sorry. That's not true repentance. That is allowing ourselves to do whatever we want, while at the same time we are building in a security that if we do something wrong, we can always ask for forgiveness. Well, that is a way that is controlled by the devil. That's not a life that is filled with heartfelt sorrow that we have grieved God by our words, or by our deeds. The devil is working to destroy relationships within the Church of Christ. Satan is working hard to get his influence within the church so that God's kingdom may be destroyed. And it is sad that often we are quite willing to help him in that. We must not give him one chance, not one foot, not even one inch, to do his destructive work within the church. We must be quick to listen and slow to speak. Let's remember that. Quick to listen, slow to speak. Listen, what is the other saying? Don't twist his words. Don't misrepresent what the other is saying. We are so good in that. It happens so often. But that is the devil's work. Let us be quick to listen, and listen a lot, and slow to speak. And be wholeheartedly inclined to do justice to the other in every discussion. Even if it may hurt us, or even if it means that we have to change our mind or we will lose a discussion, let us at least be honest, listen to each other, and be inclined to do the other justice. Again, it's remarkable that Paul in Ephesians 4 spends so many words on the way in which we use our tongue when he writes about the new man, about living as children of light. Verse 25 to 27, I already paid attention to that. And then again, verse 29 to 31. And then verse 30, let's look at that. Verse 30, he speaks about grieving the Holy Spirit. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. We can grieve the Holy Spirit in many ways. But by putting this sentence, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by putting it in between two verses in which Paul speaks about the sin of the tongue, he very clearly connects the grieving of the Holy Spirit to the sins of the tongue. Therefore, since we are sealed with the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption, we must in no way give room to Satan. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Through his Holy Spirit, God put his mark on us. Therefore, let us live by the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, and don't do the works of the devil. That is what it is about when in Revelation 13 and all the places, the Bible speaks about the mark of the beast. We have the mark of the Spirit, and that is the truth. The mark of the Spirit is the truth. We speak the truth, we stand for the truth. The mark of the beast is the lie. And I know there are lots of theories out there which speak about the mark of the beast is this or that or something else, but if you read the Bible, the mark of the beast is the lie. John 8, the Lord Jesus Christ says about Satan that he's the father of lies. And when he speaks of lies, he speaks according to his nature. And he is the one who gives his power to the beasts. And the mark of the beast is connected with the work of Satan, which is the lie. And here the mark of the spirit which we have received is the truth. And let us bear that mark, the mark of the spirit which is the truth. We can talk about lifestyle. We can talk about all things that we should do or should not do. We should not get drunk. We should spend our money wisely. And many more things that are addressed in the previous commandments. But we should not forget that the way in which we speak is a very important part of it. We can think that we have a good Christian lifestyle. But how do we speak about others? We can live in everything according to God's commandments, but if we don't control our tongue, then we are still in the power of the devil, and our lifestyle is not a Christian lifestyle. It's like James says in chapter 3, our tongue is like the rudder of a ship. It's only a very small part, but also large ships are all directed by the one small rudder. A small part can send a large ship on a collision course to its destruction, or it can steer it in the right direction. Or like a little spark that can cause terrible bushfires, our tongue, our words can do so much damage and cause so much destruction. It can start wars. It can start splits and divisions in the church. It can incite hatred among brothers and sisters. And therefore the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 4, verse 32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. And that's how our attitude should be. Be kind and compassionate also when we disagree. Be kind even if you think that the other is wrong in what he says. Even if you think that the other is sinning. Be compassionate. That is, try to convince him by speaking kindly. You want him to be convinced. You want him to see his error. It is not in the first place that you want others to see you as a great speaker or a driven leader who stands for the truth. It is not in the first place that you want others to take your side and your fight against the other. But you want him to see the truth and to agree with you and be reconciled. That is being compassionate. Compassionate is not being out there to win discussions. Compassionate is being out there to win the other over in love. God gave to us the word as a means of communication. A beautiful means of communication. To communicate our love to the other. To God, to our brother, to our sister. God tells us all to love God with all our heart and soul and mind and all our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves in everything. We should also, and in the first place, show that love in our words. Words can be the beginning of so much evil, so much fighting, but good words can also be the cause of so many good things, so many beautiful things. Proverbs 25, verse 11 says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is a wise rebuker to an obedient ear. And in the same chapter, verse 15, by long forbearance a ruler is persuaded, and a gentle tongue breaks a bone. A gentle word does more, much more to convince another than thousands of words spoken in anger. I must avoid all lying and deceit as the devil's own works. Children of God do not want to take part in the works of the devil. They resist Satan by loving and speaking the truth, even if it hurts them. Our words must always be words that come from a heart full of love. Let us be known in this world as people who speak wise and good words. Let it be the Spirit of God who speaks through us, who gives us the words to speak, so that we honor God and our neighbor in everything we say, and then God will honor us. It is not the wicked one who will prevail, and it are not his words which will remain, but it is the word of God which will remain forever. And they who speak and confess the word of God, the word of truth, they will live forever and share in God's glory. Amen. Brothers and sisters, let us now sing in response to the word of God from Psalm 101, the verses 1 to 6, all the verses. Lord, I will worship you with great rejoicing, my praise of righteousness and mercy voicing. Psalm 101, all 6 verses. Let us now pray. Our Father in heaven, Almighty God, the God of truth, we thank you that you come to us with your word of truth, and that your Son has come into this world to testify to the truth. Father, we thank you that you do not let the lie prevail. That you come to us, and that your Son Jesus Christ has defeated the power of Satan and hell, and that now we may live in your love. Father, give us then, through your Holy Spirit, that we may live the new life. Work in us the new life through your Spirit more and more, so that we are living as children of light, children of our Heavenly Father, children who love the truth, because their Father, you are a God of truth. Father, give us then that we stand firm, that we do not speak the lie, that we do not speak evil about our neighbor, but that we stand for the truth and that we do so in love. And give us then also that we do not tolerate in our presence those who are eager to slander a neighbor, but we will silence the offender, that we cannot bear proud hearts and haughty eyes, and that we do not spare them, that we do not tolerate those who are filled with guile and malice, no liars, no scandal mongers shall dwell in our house. Father, help us to live by the Spirit, to live a life in which we show that we are children of the God of truth. Father, it is a hard battle, so easily we sin. Will you help us through your Holy Spirit and give us that we constantly pray for the guidance of your Holy Spirit? We give thanks to you for your word which you have received. We thank you for this day of rest on which we could come together in the church services. We thank you for the preaching of your word. May you continue to be with us this day, that we may continue to enjoy the rest. Be with us this week when we take up our daily work, or go to school, or busy at home, busy in the church. Bless us in all that you do and guide us through your word and your Holy Spirit, and make us a blessing for so many around us, also for this world in which we live, that through our life, our godly way of life, we may win others for Christ. Father, receive our thanks and hear our prayer in the name of your Son, O Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters, let us sing as a final song this afternoon from Psalm 4. O righteous God of my salvation, be merciful and hear my plea. Psalm 4, let us sing all three verses. brothers and sisters, receive now the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.